Welcome to tonight's episode of Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Ruth Ann.
And I'm Robert.
And we're delighted to have with us this evening a very special guest. But first, I'd like to remind everyone about our website, wellroundedcorners.com. You can listen to all of our past shows there for free, and you can also find us on iTunes by searching Well-Rounded Corners. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, all new shows automatically downloaded to your computer or iPod within 48 hours of this broadcast. And you can also listen to us in the archives of our BBS radio page or live every other Tuesday on BBS Radio Channel 1.
Absolutely. And the special guest that Ruth Ann mentioned is Michelle Avanti. She is a published ISAR-certified planetary systems analyst, consulting metaphysician, ordained minister, and an award-winning author. Since 1972, she's taught and consulted in many areas of metaphysics, and she's lectured and given more than 17,000 consultations in person, by phone, on radio, television, and at seminars and workshops all across America. Her columns have appeared in newspapers and magazines since 1985. We're delighted to have you with us today, Michelle.
I'm so honored. You know, I have been a metaphysician since I started very, very young being interested in metaphysics, because as a child, I was born with an awareness that most people, we all have it, but everyone doesn't necessarily keep it open, and a lot of people are not aware that they are aware. I traveled the inner planes with spiritual masters from the time I was born, and was trained by them on the inner planes, which caused me to want to find more connections on the outer here in this physical world. And as I was raised in the five boroughs of New York, I had at my disposal tremendous amounts of information available through the library system.
Oh.
So I gathered whatever I could, read whatever I could on the outer. But the majority of the information that I've learned, aside from my astrological knowledge or EFT knowledge or fixed star knowledge, has come on the inner planes. So I have this wonderful connection with spiritual beings who are not in physical bodies. Then I went on a course to learn astrology, and I started studying that back in the early 70s because my mother was interested in it. And so I started to look into it, but I decided I was not going to actually go professional as an astrologer till they had computer programs, because I felt it just took too much time to make sure you had an accurate chart.
No.
And I didn't want to spend time delineating a chart that was not accurate.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I've just, in my dabblings in astrology, I cannot imagine doing it without the aid of a computer. I know it's possible, but the math involved is just, I mean.
Well, I used to teach it, actually. I used to teach math classes for NCGR years ago. NCGR is one of the several international and astrological organizations. It's the National Council for Geocosmic Research. ESAR, the one that I'm certified by, is International Society for Astrological Research. So there are quite a few wonderful, wonderful societies of astrologers in the world.
Well, I think a lot of us, a lot of people that I've known anyway, you know, we mostly think of astrology, you know, we see it in the newspaper, your horoscope, or, you know, we might get it in an email or see it on a website. But I had friends that, you know, knew more about it and did my chart. And then I learned a little bit more about it. And frankly, I don't know very much, but I have to say that I was very impressed on how accurate my natal chart was. It really is. And I also, while I listened to them talk about it, thought, wow, there is so much to this that most people would have no clue about, and I know that I don't, and I'm really impressed that you've taken the time, that you have the gift to be able to learn all that and to help others with what you've learned.
It's so valuable. I can't even begin to express it. Years and years ago, back in the early 90s, I had a woman come, and she asked me to do the chart for her son. She was very concerned. She said, I'm worried about my son. Please, can you tell me no astrologer ever wants to hear someone ask this question, but she said, I would like you to tell me when he's going to die. And I said to her, I said, an astrologer cannot tell you when someone's going to die. And any astrologer who does tell you that is not telling you the truth, because that's not true. What we have is points of transformation. There are moments where our whole lives change forever. And at one of those moments of major transformation, you will leave the body. But no astrologer can tell you which one of those moments it's going to be. I can look at his chart, and I can give you indications of times where it would be very wise for you to be around him. It would be very wise for you to be aware of where he is and what's happening, because if he has major points of transformation in his chart, these are things that are so important for a mother to know. And I did, and his chart was just filled with them. I just couldn't believe. He just had so many turbulent experiences. And I looked through his chart from the time that she came, which was, I think he was probably about 10 or 11 at that time. And I went forward in time, and I gave her dates. I gave her dates for every major point. And then I reached a point where I said to her, I said, if he makes it to 21 years old, he does not have any other major points for a long time. He'll live a long life after that.
Oh.
And so she was very grateful. A few years ago, I got a phone call from her, and she said, I just wanted to tell you John died. Oh, my gosh, how horrible. She said 2 weeks before his 21st birthday.
Oh, wow.
It's heartbreaking. Well, she has gone through a huge healing process, and he has come to her on the inner planes, and she's written a book, and she's done a lot of work as a result of him being on the other side. But nonetheless, what I found out after she wrote the book and sent it to me, because I'm in her book, she says in the book, she says, and I was at my wit's end. And someone said I should go see this person who was an astrologer. She did not believe in astrology. She knew nothing about astrology. She thought it was probably devil's work because she was a Catholic and she didn't know anything about it, except what you see in a newspaper. So I thought it was amazing. He never said that to me. And of course, after her time with me, she became very interested in astrology and all the things metaphysical. Her whole life changed.
Wow.
That's an amazing
amazing.
Definitely amazing story. I wonder, you mentioned these transformation points that exist now. Are these based off of the charts that you make off someone or make for someone based off their birth? I believe they call that the natal chart. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the natal chart, the progress chart, and of course, whatever the planets, how the planets are activating that chart. For those who are new to astrology, a lot of people only know sun sign astrology. They know that if they open their newspaper, there'll be an astrology column, and it references sun signs. So a lot of people know I'm a Libra or I'm an Aries or whatever their sun sign is. But they don't realize that horoscope column is only based on one point. And it can never, ever really speak to who you are unless all of who you are is wrapped up in that one signature. Every person has an experience, a geometrical connection to all the planets in our solar system, to fixed stars that are in constellations way beyond our solar system. They have a certain kind of influence. My hypothesis on why does astrology work has to do with the moment that an individual takes their first breath. That is what we call the moment where the soul enters the body. It takes its first breath, and now the soul is here in the physicality. And at that very moment, there is an interplay, a resonating experience between the heavens and this physical person. And the DNA is struck like a chime would be struck, with a resonating response, and that pattern of all the planetary systems is left on the DNA of that individual. And we as astrologers attempt to lay out that pattern in a wheel for that moment in time and that location on the planet. When we do that, we have a picture. And that picture does not stay stagnant. It stays as the basis, and as the planets continue to move, and as the individual continues to grow, expand in knowledge, it also moves that wheel and those planets. And it is that picture that we look at as astrologers when someone comes to us. We look at the natal picture, that original resonance. We look at the growth of the individual, the progressed experience. And we look at the planets in the sky and how they are geometrically responding, reacting, or aspecting those natal and progressed planets. And in specific geometric patterns, we find there is what we call an activation, and there is a response in the individual to that activation. But how we as individuals respond has a lot to do with who we are, how we are raised, our culture, all the experiences around us. So we have many ways to respond to these resonating experiences, just as if you took a room of people and you had one person come in and talk to each person the same way, not everyone would see the same thing or respond the same way.
That was a wonderful way to describe that.
Absolutely. You know, I saw an article, it's been a couple of months ago, but they were talking about how a scientist was demonstrating how DNA in plants, I believe it was plant-based DNA, was altered by the influence of the – altered by when it was – when the plant was born, essentially, by the – essentially the astrological chart of that plant. And, I mean, they didn't take an astrological slant to it. They took more of a – that the planets have influence on the DNA of that plant. And I'll find that article and link it in the post when we post this interview. But – because it was a fascinating thing. And like I said, they weren't coming at it from astrology standpoint, but you could easily see the connection and sort of a scientific backing of what you just said.
I love that because I've had that hypothesis for 20 years, more than 20 years now, and been talking about it. I've never gone to search to see any scientific results for it, but when you think about it, over 100 years ago, people didn't even understand what resonance was.
Right.
And that's what this is. It's resonance. And people think that something so far away, we're talking about light years away when we talk about, for example, Sciat. Sciat is a fixed star in the constellation of Pisces. And that fixed star is a real headliner for the last year. It's been a real headliner. We connected to that tsunami that took place in Japan, and I announced that there would be a major, major, major drowning, probably a huge tsunami, because it is known as the fixed star of drowning. It's also a fixed star of brilliance, because in individuals it can bring brilliance. That star so far away, one would say, oh, how could that possibly have an influence on me? I'm one person on a huge planet. Does, because we are interconnected. We are all part of the same substance of creation.
Yes, absolutely.
And resonance takes place between us.
Absolutely. I would agree with that totally. You know, I always tell, I'm a Reiki practitioner. I always tell my students and my clients that, you know, time and space and all these concepts that we see as normal, you know, scientific concepts, let's keep in mind that humans name those. And that's a human concept, so we understand how the world works so that we can live in it. But nature doesn't know the word time or the word space or the word dimension or the word guide, or you know what I'm saying, that mm-hmm. the universe works the way it works. And whether we agree with – whether we understand it or whatever name we put on it, it still works the way it works. And maybe it seems far away to us, but in the scope of the universe, that's not.
Well, yeah, it's all a matter of perception. And your explanation with the DNA, not only is that now starting to bear out some scientific scrutiny and acceptance, but I think a lot of us, if we really sat down and thought about it, I think, you know, to use this word again, because it's just so applicable, I think if we really thought about it, that hypothesis of how everything is interconnected and how these things make an imprint on us and how our DNA is we're finding more and more acts like a receiver more than it is a blueprint. I mean, if we really think about that, those ideas resonate with most of us as the truth, I guess, if you want to say it. I hate to use that word because that's such a vague, fleeting thing, but I think it really resonates with a lot of us, what you said about that. And I'm, you know, it's just definitely something that it's hard to deny the connection we have to these things.
You know, when people understand how astrology works, it's, you know, we can show you the picture of the planets and their interfacing, but where do astrologers get their ideas? It's 4,000 years of hindsight. Mm-hmm. We've been researching for more than 4,000 years. When you look at the Bible and you hear the story of the three magi, the word magi is a word that meant astrologer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
Well, wow. You know, I lived in the South for many years, and when people would say to me, well, astrology, isn't that the devil's work? And I would look at them and I'd say, have you ever been to a church at Christmas? Mm-hmm. And they'd say, well, of course. And I'd say, have you ever seen a nativity? And they'd say, of course. And I'd say, and do you know there were three magi? And they say, well, of course. And I'll say, yes, and magi are astrologers. Every Christian church around the world celebrates astrology at the birth of Christ.
And well, that makes total sense. I when you think about it, what were they following? They were following the star.
Well, it's, you know, we've known about astrology for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It's back in the time of the Babylonians and the Persians that astrology was basically birthed as we know it. But at the very same time, we have Eastern astrology, which is even older, and Chinese astrology, which is even older. We've had astrology around forever. Why? Because what did man do at night before there were lights?
Ah, true.
He looked at the sky. He looked at the stars. That's why you have temples, ancient temples all over the planet that are focused on the rising and setting of stars.
Mm-hmm. True. Yes.
Seasons were noted by the movement of stars. When I say seasons, I don't just mean spring and fall. I mean the seasons for growth and harvest.
Yes.
They were noted by the movement of stars. You know, in ancient Egypt, this period of time that we call Aquarius here, which is the time we're in now, this period of time was the time when that sign rose, and as a result of it, the flooding would take place. The Nile would flood. That would ensure that all the crops would be able to have what they need for them to have a great harvest. And that's why we call, in this present time, we call Aquarius the sign of the water bearer.
Ah.
Because pouring water into the Nile.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that either. I'm learning so much from you.
Well, we are going to have to take a short break here. But when we come back, I'd definitely like to go into a little more of this, maybe talk about some things for this year and explore some other aspects of that. So we'll take a brief break and we'll come back in just a minute.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma. And it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as Lahoji. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
And welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. And we are fortunate tonight to have Michelle Avanti with us. And we're talking to her about astrology. And we are learning some really, really interesting things here tonight. And we're so glad you're with us tonight, Michelle.
I'm so honored to be with you guys. It's so much fun. Astrology is obviously close to my heart. I think everybody should do things that are close to their hearts, that they're passionate about.
True, definitely. Yes.
And I've got now Robert's chart up on my screen, so I can tell you things, and you'll find perhaps fascinating. When I look, the very first thing I note is that you were born right as the sun and the moon were in opposition. And that tells me a lot about your mom and dad. It tells me that they were struggling with either each other or with something in their lives at the time. It wasn't necessarily an easy time for them, and this requires more balance for you. It calls for you as soul to work with balancing the feminine and the masculine sides of your nature. It's very, very interesting. But in astrology, we also have things we call helping hands, where if one planet is in the other planet's major sign, it can be very helpful. It's kind of like if you have a person who is capable of speaking your language, even though they live in a foreign country, we have a way to really communicate. And so your mom and dad, your moon was in, your moon is in Leo, and your sun is in Aquarius. That opposition says that the sun has a wonderful ability to connect with the moon because of that, because the sun normally rules Leo. You know, anybody with a moon in Leo is someone who loves to have a good time, and they can have the ability to love children or to even be like a child and have that incredible sense of wonder. So that's a lovely, lovely thing that you have going for you. Wow. Uranus is in the sky, is getting ready to travel into your seventh house. And this can cause you to feel a bit of a struggle about a need for independence, a need to break free of some relationships that you have been in, or to make a huge change in the way your relationships are working. You're going to find that to be the case over this next few months as it gets into this next house. When a person is married and Uranus goes into that house, it can also cause some real challenges. And what I normally tell my clients when I see something like that happening, if they are wanting their marriage to continue, I will tell them how to focus their energy in a way that will allow them to do that. Uranus requires a lot of independence. It requires you to make breakthroughs and go do things on your own. So to change things around, to create more variety. So you would put the focus in a different area instead of focusing that energy on a mate. You would focus it more on something else that you would be working with.
So it doesn't always have to do with relationships. It can be more of a major change. And you said it related to independence. You said
yes. Well, okay. Uranus is always considered the planet of independence, revolution, genius, invention. And when we put it in Aries, it's breaking new ground. It says, I really need to get out and I really need to test new things. By putting it in the seventh house, which is the house of marriage and also the house of one-on-one relationships, you can find yourself putting more energy into connecting with people who are really unique, unusual kinds of people, people who others might call eccentric, or people who seem like they're way out there, like astrologers. Such as myself.
Well, that's very fascinating. Everything you've said is pretty accurate so far. I mean, it's absolutely that's astounding.
Your progressed moon has moved into your first house. For the last 8 months, you've had this progressed moon in the sign of Libra. Mm-hmm. So shortly before this, 9 months ago, you were still at the tail end of Virgo. Whenever our moon moves, our progressed moon moves, it changes what we really desire. It changes what we have feelings about. And before, when it was in Virgo, you may have had more desire to do service for others. You may have had more desire to really get down to the brass tacks and identify all the details of situations regarding health, regarding how you might self-sabotage, or regarding how people imprison themselves. There's a whole lot of statements. But about eight months ago, it went into Libra. And then your desire changed. It started to move into this energy where a need to be fair, a need to be balanced, a need to understand relationships, to communicate more, to connect in a very fair way with others, a desire for relationships. That would be balanced relationships without peer pressure. So we change and we go through 30 months in each sign. And it's always fascinating.
That's interesting. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And what it does is it causes us to grow and understand ourselves better. The house that it is traveling through in your chart, Robert, is your first house. So this is indicative that the desire for relationships and to understand, you're desiring it from your perspective, not from someone else's or not from the need for money or the need for interfacing with other people's things or their creativity, but rather it's from your own perspective. What is the need for me personally in terms of relationships? How do I connect? How do I work with other people, and how can I make my connections with others more balanced, fair, and appropriate for what I consider the way things should be? So it's a very interesting way that we set things in motion in our charts.
Absolutely.
As that continues to move forward, it's just about at 8 degrees, and your sun is at 11. So over the next 3 months, it makes this beautiful trine to your sun. And your sun is the ruler of your house of what you wish for, what you dream of, what you really want. And it sits in your house of creativity, your house of children, your house of love. And that trine tells us that there is an opportunity opening up for you to have more of what you want in terms of your career through your own creativity, your own inventiveness.
So
it's that's a very exciting opportunity. When will that come again? Well, it won't come again for a long, long time. So when we see trines like this,
that is an opportunity that's creative based. Interesting. That's very interesting.
And you're born with the sun at 11 degrees of Aquarius. And anytime we look at degrees, there's energy in certain degrees. Certain degrees have certain amounts of power in them. When I see any planet, especially a luminary like the sun, at 11 degrees, it's indicative to me that you're here to master something in this lifetime. Your sun is in Aquarius. It's in the fifth house. these are statements that say you're here to master a creative or an understanding of the creative energy, understanding of leadership and how we use energy, how we use our creative powers to lead others, and how we can help children to understand how they can become leaders, to think outside the box, to go a step beyond. And you intend to master that in this lifetime. 11 is also a number that tells me that you will do it in a very kind, a considerate kind of way. It's not a forceful way, but rather it's a strong communication that also blends with a nurturing or an intuitive connection.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's, yeah, I mean, without going into too much detail, I mean, everything is right on. Absolutely. I mean, just from what I've observed, and any major spots going forward that I guess you mentioned the one that I'm in now, or about right. to be.
Well, you know, Pluto's in your fourth house, and wherever Pluto is, we have to experience transformation. And when it first enters the house, we have the most difficult time of it. And what happens, just like when you move into a new neighborhood, it takes you time to learn the neighborhood and how to work with the energy of the neighborhood. Well, it's the same thing when a planet like Pluto moves into a house in your chart. The fourth house is the house of emotions. It's the house of where you live, your physical property. And it's also the house of your dream state. How do you dream at night? How do you sleep at night? Pluto entered this house about a year or so ago, and I think it's 2 years ago. It was in 2010 it entered this house. So when it did, at that point in time, you might have gone through a major emotional upheaval, a big transformation, and sometimes it can bring a loss with it, and other times it's just a transformation where our connection to a parent changes entirely. In the fourth house, it would be a connection to whoever your biological energy, the nurturer, usually it's the mother, but sometimes a grandmother. Mm-hmm. There could have been a major transformation in your connection, because suddenly Pluto digs up information for you. It brings through your dream state in the fourth house, it will bring information of change, information of old age, information of death, information of power. Where is the power in the dream state? A lot of things come up, and it also brings a need to look at what is my career and is it what I want? Where is the power in my career, or where is the power in myself as it comes through my career? So a lot of things have been going on with you. It's been in that house for a while, and it will continue to be there for quite a while. And as it continues to travel, it makes connections to different planets. Right now it's at 8 degrees, and it's making a beautiful trine to your natal Jupiter. And Jupiter for everybody has to do with our expansiveness, our ability to promote ourselves through the media or through connecting with the public. And it can have to do with legal procedures, and also it can have to do with our religious connections or our spiritual connections. But in your case, it's in the 12th house. It's a statement of you are transforming. An opportunity comes to you through Pluto to transform emotionally by expanding or becoming incredibly aware of how you may have shortchanged yourself through your communication process in the past, or through your service or your health in the past. It could be even through your nutrition in the past. It's saying that there's opportunity now for you to transform your health regime, to free yourself of old habits, to open up doorways for you to expand the way that you look at health, the way you look at service, the way that you look at contracts, and the way that you communicate your own needs to the world, your own needs to serve to the world. So this beautiful doorway is open. It's open right now. And when we have this kind of opening, it could be coming through your dream state. It could be coming through people who come into your world from past lives. It could come through teachers that have been teachers in other lifetimes come into your life. There are a lot of different pictures that are generated astrologically, and those are some of them.
Hmm. And you said that was that Pluto was forming a trine with Jupiter. Did you say that, or was that something that had been passed?
It has formed the trine with Jupiter. It is in trine to Jupiter. It's within just a few minutes. It's like within 3 minutes of Jupiter.
Wow.
It is in trine. It's been working that because it was in trine to your progressed Jupiter. It's not quite a year ago, but it's been in trine. So this doorway opened up a little while back. It's still open. Pluto takes its time. It goes back and forth. We call it a retrograde motion. When you hear of a planet going retrograde, it doesn't really mean that any planets in our solar system actually go backwards. It means that based on where we are on planet Earth in our orbit, we appear to move past that planet in its orbit. And so it appears to be going backwards. And then eventually, as we come around our orbit, it will catch up with us, and then it will go forward again. And that's what retrograde means. Hmm. So, but Pluto does a lot of that because it's really far out in terms of when you orbital paths in our solar system. So it takes a long time for it to get through. And that's good because it is a hard-hitting planet. When it brings in transformation, it's not always easy. And it's better for it to come in and go away and come in and go away because then we're able to adjust more completely to whatever the change is.
And just one final thing on that before you move to Ruthann's. You said that this – how long does this trine last? How long is this a and how long
will Pluto? Well, Pluto actually is going to be moving on. I haven't checked to see. I look in the ephemeris here. I didn't come quick through this tonight, but – I have to take a look at the ephemeris.
Oh, I just meant vaguely.
Oh, well, no. You know, it's always good to kind of have a knowledge of where it'll be. It's still at 8 degrees in December. So, you know, it's going to probably be another year and a half. It will be in and out of this. It won't always be exactly on that trine, but since as it goes backwards, it's going to still be applying a trine to your progressed. I'd say you're pretty much in a wonderful zone. And what's even more beautiful is as it's at this 8-degree mark and continues to move forward, and this also will be the case at the end of the year when it's at 8 degrees again and it continues to move forward through 9 degrees, it's making what we call in astrology a grand trine.
Oh.
Because it's all making a trine to Chiron. Chiron is considered by some astrologers to be a planet, by others to be an asteroid. Whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. We found that it has tremendous significance in the chart. And it can bring in connections to other people. It can bring in resources for you because it's coming through the eighth house. It can bring in an inheritance with this grand trine, which isn't always something you want to hear. But don't always think of an inheritance as something that comes as a result of someone dying. It can come as a result of someone transforming.
Right.
However, Jupiter is traveling, Jupiter in the sky is traveling through your eighth house. And as it comes to this point of 9 degrees of Chiron or gets closer to 8 degrees, it's going to activate that grand trine. If I were to go forward in time to find that point, there would probably be right on that date or extremely close to that date an inheritance coming to you. So there may be a loss in your family with this, or it may come from someone who has been a teacher in some past life. I would have to go to that moment in time to truly identify where it is.
So, that's really interesting.
Okay. Well, so now with Ruthann, you have her information. I assume, I don't know how.
I have her whole chart in front of me. And, again, I'm just looking at the tri-wheel. I'm not looking at the individuated natal or the individuated progressed. But when I look at Ruthann's chart, I mean, the very first thing you see is Pluto, in the sky has just gone over her ascendant. in the last few months. And that's a very challenging experience because Pluto is the transformer. And when it goes over our rising sign, the ascendant is the rising sign. Why is it called that? Just so that everyone kind of has an idea. When you look at a wheel, for those who haven't seen it, it has an axis, it has a vertical, and it has a horizontal axis. And what we call the rising sign is on the left side of the wheel, and it's on that horizontal axis. That represents the constellation there on Ruth Ann's is 5 degrees of Capricorn, 49 minutes. That represents the constellation of Capricorn. If you were standing outside that hospital at the moment that Ruth Ann took her first breath, we would have seen the constellation of Capricorn about 5 degrees Capricorn, 49 minutes rising over the horizon line.
Wow.
That's why it's called rising. Okay?
That's how
most people, it's nice to have a kind of an understanding what this picture is. Where did it come from?
Yes, that helps me. Actually, that's interesting.
That's the ascendant sign.
The ascendant, a Capricorn ascendant. To have Pluto going over the ascendant says that I'm transforming physically. I'm transforming myself personally in some major way. I am coming into a transformation.
You also have
your Jupiter, your progressed Jupiter is close to your ascendant now. And that's a lovely thing. It's so protective and it can create such great optimism for the individual that it's like having a blessing on you while Pluto the Transformer comes into the house.
Oh, I'll take that. Nice.
It's wonderful. I always find it fascinating how we souls create these amazing little methods of defending ourselves and protecting ourselves from the most difficult or challenging experiences. And so to see Pluto here, you may have had some events take place that have been somewhat challenging, and you may have experienced changing who you see yourself as, changing the way you look. Pluto going over the ascendant when it was at 4 degrees, making a trine to your Pluto in your eighth house. The eighth house can also be the house of surgery, and you may have done something. You may have done some kind of surgery with a trine to that. And it would have probably been a very good, very good opportunity for you. I don't know if you actually did. You may have done something else. I mean, it's also the house of other people's resources, and you may have transformed yourself in some way as a result of resources, which could be anything from, you know, borrowing money on a credit card to a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of statements. And, of course, I'm just picking out. I'm picking here and there. So I look at what's going on in your charts. So taking another look, you also have had Saturn going over your midheaven in these last few months. And now it is in your 10th house. It will not go back. But Saturn going over the midheaven is like having the principal say to you, okay, what have you accomplished in terms of your career? The principal comes to you and says, you're either going to graduate or you go back 10 steps. Normally, when it goes over our midheaven, if we've been working hard and developing ourselves, it gives us a tremendous gift. It gives us the Academy Award. It can give us a wonderful gift. And as I look at your chart, Saturn, as it was going over that midheaven, was making a beautiful sextile to your natal Jupiter. It was making a sextile to your moon. It was making a sextile to the midpoint between your moon and Jupiter. So there was an opportunity of some kind that came to you through public venue that may have connected you in some way to your father or to your mom and helped you to take a look at where you've been held back and how you've been held back, perhaps in relationships, perhaps with authority figures, perhaps with male energy, and how you now have this opportunity to open the door, expand your knowledge, expand your awareness, and step out beyond that. A new understanding of who your mother is probably came through this. A new understanding of women and womanhood may have come through this.
Well, now, wow.
Of relationships may have come through this. and it freed you. It should have freed you. Even though Saturn doesn't normally free anyone of anything, it usually holds us back. With that sextile to Jupiter in the moon and coming across the midheaven, it's indicative to me that you opened a doorway that freed you.
That is just, all that you've just said is just astounding. That's exactly transformation, freeing, related to my, that's just so many things. That's astounding. I'm almost speechless there. Almost, not quite, but almost. when you look back at my birth, you had mentioned Robert. I'm just curious what.
Oh, your mom and dad?
Yeah.
Your son is at 1 degree of Pisces and your moon is at 20 degrees of Sagittarius. So we don't have this wonderful relationship between these two planets. It's out of orb. It's out of sync. They don't have a connection. We don't even have a struggle. They just are not really speaking to each other. There is no mm-hmm. strong connection between them here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they were doing at that time. Your dad, when we look at the sun being your dad, it's a statement of he may have been spiritual or he may have been away and just not present. Your mom, on the other hand, was present. Of course, she had to be. But
yeah,
but she was actually, you know, her statement is that I have no choice but to go forward. But I am here, and I will teach. And I'm making you a promise. I will teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically was making a promise to you. It was very. It was not necessarily an easy promise to be made because when we look at your Mercury at 19 degrees of Pisces, it's a direct square to your moon, which says that your communication between you and your mom is not always the easiest communication on the planet. It's very challenging. You can be very psychic and very intuitive, and she can mm-hmm. be, with the statement here, maybe too religious to hear what you really have to say.
Wow, that's really good. that's really
very
good.
Talented.
Yeah,
very
that's true.
Do you ever get do you ever get tired of hearing people say wow and that's amazing and?
I'm so used to it because you know it's just the language for me. It's like reading a newspaper to you.
Right.
Where for you, you're going. Where are you seeing this? You know, when I teach beginning astrology, if I were to tell my students how much they would learn in 6 weeks, they would all get up and leave. Because in just 6 weeks, they have to learn 144,000 things at the minimum.
Wow.
Just to have absolute bottom line of what you can understand with astrology. And so there is so much that your mind, that's why they've never come up yet with a computer program that can really organically delineate a chart. It doesn't exist. And experience, of course, just adds to it, your ability to read it faster and see it faster. But I remember one time I had a client come, and it was just the end of November or the beginning of December. It was before Christmas. And I looked at the woman's chart, and I just looked at her, and I just kind of glared at her, and I said, you know, I know what you did last Friday night. You'll never do that again. I know you put a gun to your mouth, and you will never do that again. You did not need to do that, and this transit is going to pass, and in January, you will be free of it.
Wow.
And you could have knocked the woman over with a feather.
Well, I think so, yes. I could see why.
Because she could not even begin to believe that anyone could know that she'd done that.
Mm.
But
wow.
There it was in black and white for me to look at. And I can also see as an astrologer that this pain that you're in, I can see when it's going to be gone. And I can assure you, if I see a client in pain, I'm going to tell them when they will be out of this pain. I'm going to tell them where the release valves are and where they need to focus so that they can get the most out of the experience without being so deeply embedded in pain.
Well, now that's what's so interesting to me about this. I see everything we learn in our life as a tool. And mm-hmm. you put this together with whatever else you're doing in your life to heal or to move forward. And it's so powerful. I mean, how powerful is that to be able to tell someone who has been to that point so recently to say, you know what? You know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel and it's coming really soon. And, you know, you don't need to do that. And that is so powerful to be able to empower someone to know that, you know, there is hope and here and you know, that's just a wonderful.
Well, you mentioned some points for me, you know, coming up. Do you see anything with Ruthann that is of any in the charts that is of any consequence or significance in the near future?
You know, looking at Ruthann's chart, there are some beautiful things activating. And I think I might have mentioned, you know, Jupiter is making a trine, starting to make its trine to her natal Jupiter. But first, it will make a trine to her progressed Jupiter. And it's really on its way to doing that even now. It's very, to me, incredibly exciting. Her Jupiter, her progressed Jupiter, is right on the ascendant. And like I said, having Jupiter there is this wonderful protection. So when we see the Jupiter in the sky making a beautiful trine coming through the fourth house, this is a statement that a big doorway opens. So we look to see, well, what does Jupiter naturally rule in this chart? It rules her house of communication, her thought forms, her personal mind. It rules also her 12th house, which is the house that Jupiter is sitting in natally. And the 12th house is karma. It's all past life experiences. It's how we don't complete things or don't help ourselves or hurt ourselves because we're just unaware. And when you put a trine from Jupiter to Jupiter, the statement is the dream state is going to become wide open and information is literally going to flow. And that flowing of information will expand her mind. It will be very valuable. It will also be very practical information. It's not just intangible stuff, but it's something that you can practically use here in the physicality. So that's a wonderful statement. And what's really exciting about it is as this doorway opens, and we're talking about like the seventh day of February. It is exact already on the seventh day of February. So you're looking at the week before that. That whole week is a hot week for you.
Wow.
As it continues to move forward. I mean, I would take that time. When I see stuff like this, I usually tell my clients, take this period of time. Make sure you make good use of it. Try to not gift you unless you pay attention to them. They come by, but you can't get the real value out of them if you don't use them. Okay? So make good use of time. During that week, take an hour out of each day and either spend it in meditation or go to sleep earlier and allow your dream state to be as active as you're open to allow.
Oh, wonderful.
It's going to give you gifts. And there's no question these gifts are transformative because you progressed Pluto is at 3 degrees. So here you have a grand trine doorway opening up for you to open up to knowledge that is going to free you from biological experiences, free you emotionally, free you from thought forms that have held you back, thought forms that connect to your father. And it's going to open the doorway for you to understand what it is that creates power for you.
Wow.
Who you are in terms of your power. And this can be the power of your ancestry, your biological ancestry through your mother. Because the fourth house is the house of the mother. So suddenly you're open. You've opened this huge doorway. Yeah, and I think that is incredibly exciting.
That is exciting.
Well, that's wonderful.
You know, if you're studying any form of shamanism, this is a jewelry that blows this sucker right off the charts.
Wow. Wow, that is so cool. That's exactly that. That's just amazing. Yeah, I felt like that door was the door I needed to open. And that's why I went, you know, started studying it. And it's just was an amazing beginning and feels so natural to me. And I just, that's amazing.
And Chiron, you know, is in position with this as well. Chiron is hitting the sweet spot between the two Jupiters as you're having this activation, which means it's also opposing Pluto in your chart. And Chiron is a very, very interesting, whatever it is, dwarf planet or asteroid, whatever you want to call it. But it always has to do with groups. And it's a statement in Pisces that I'm coming together with my family, with my karmic group,
wow.
My group from lives, the group that values me and whom I value because of the power that they will pour through me. And I have struggled before with this power, but I now come into balance with it.
Wow. That is exactly what's happening, it feels
like. That's amazing. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time tonight. But before we go, I want our listeners to know we're going to have a little extra segment on what Michelle sees for this year, the infamous or famous 2012, whichever it's going to be. we're going to talk a little bit about that, and that segment's going to be on our website right after the end of the show, so you can catch that. So please go to our website, wellroundedcorners.com. We'll also have it in iTunes, too, as a separate segment, so you'll get to hear all of it. But Michelle, it's been great having you on. How do people get a hold of you to have their own astrological readings or to take your consultation? How would people reach you?
They can actually just pick up the phone and call me. I'm at 541-863-6631. Is that my number?
841. 541-863-6631.
Yeah, that's my number.
Okay. And we'll post that
on your
site.
Or connect with me on Facebook, or they can connect with me through my blog, astrologyandmore.blogspot.com. And you write the whole thing out, astrologyandmore.blogspot.com.
Okay, and we'll have links to your Facebook page, to your website. We'll have your phone number there. As you can see, I can tell you, and Ruthann can tell you too, these what you've told us in the second segment about us has been absolutely spot on. It's amazing. So any of you listening who would like that, definitely give her a call. She'd
yes.
be glad to help you. And it's, I mean, just such a wonderful service you can do as your livelihood and also really helping others through some really powerful, and very skilled astrology. I'm just amazed, Michelle. It's very good.
It's so much fun. I absolutely love doing what I do.
Well, we'll have to go for now, but catch us on our website, wellroundedcorners.com, for the last little segment here. About 2012, you won't want to miss that. I know everybody's wondering what's going to happen this year. So catch that on our website, and we'll talk to you next week.
Until next time.